Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
More Steve-O news, good sports, all coming your way. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Nearly 50,000 falsified unemployment claims in Maryland and more than 500 million in claims. Maryland isn't alone. Other states are filing and finding that there's similar cases of unemployment fraud. Careful, people. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Your info's out there. You're online. Think about how much you're doing online these days versus 5-10 years ago. You're ordering food. You're making appointments. You're paying for things. You need to protect yourself. It's like you didn't need car insurance before you drove a car. Now you have a car and you need car insurance. That's all. You're online. It's convenient, but your info's out there. And that's why you need LifeLock. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. Right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats that you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gino Grad.
Well, first up, we have another cautionary tale about a hot mic. This just happened.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati Reds announcer Tom Brenneman has been suspended. He uttered a homophobic slur while calling the Reds game Wednesday, not realizing his mic was on. It's an odd thing, and we'll kind of take you through it. Here's a clip. You really have to listen closely.
Fag capitals of the world. Reds Live.
So very, very quick turnaround, realizing his mic was on. As soon as he realized his mistake, he went on the air and gave an immediate apology while still calling the game in the middle of the apology.
I heard about this. You gotta go with fan capital of the world and just say you were just like reading or misspoke.
That's right.
What's the plausible explanation?
I'm going to give you a possibility after this. Here's the apology.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith.
Uh-oh.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it'll be a home run.
He called a home run!
Awesome.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game. I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people.
Wait, hold on one second. Yeah. First things first. You always have to be, during every break, here's a new protocol. I'm going to tell my son this because he wants to get into sports and sports broadcasting, all that kind of stuff. During every break, because of this hot mic situation, you need to have half a peanut butter sandwich. You need to be eating the peanut butter sandwich. And then when you come back.
On camera.
Yeah, just always show it. Oh, that'll be your trademark. And then if you show it, it's a fan city. And then you can always just kind of blame the roof of your mouth. Like, I had this Skippy Smooth that was stuck up on my palate.
Everyone knows I love taffy.
I love the taffy. Yeah. Now, so not only does this guy get busted with the hot mic, but he has to continue announcing. Yeah. And at the beginning of the apology, the guy hits a dinger?
Yep.
Yep.
Was that really in real time? Like he just started to apologize and a guy hit a home run 4.5 seconds after he started the apology?
Watch it again.
I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos.
It's like the first pitch into the apology. I mean, this is a game that takes forever. I mean, the average time between home runs or between coming back from a break and a home run, it's got to be 19 minutes and 28 seconds. He got under 4 seconds. A guy hit a dinger. First pitch.
Chris, back it up. I don't need the sound, but I want to look at the box. Was that the fucking leadoff hitter? Like, was that the first batter of the game?
Well, it's the first batter after he came back.
No, that was top of the fifth.
He does the slur during the break. Then they come back and he's like the first guy after they come back, which is still horrible timing.
What was the location he was referring to as Fan Central?
I think they were in Kansas City.
Okay.
And I will give you a possible reason why this happened, even though it ain't clean. It's not a perfect A to B. But the team issued a statement saying the Cincinnati Reds organization is devastated by the horrific homophobic remark made this evening by broadcaster Tom Brennan. Jesus. He was pulled off the air and effective immediately was suspended from doing Reds broadcasts. He will be addressing our broadcasting team in the coming days. Now, it was funny because as this happened, we were on the air last night on the Conway Show. Petros Papadakis, who I'm sure you're familiar with, or know,
Petros and Money.
He was on, and exactly KLAC. He said, "Well, kind of might have been a sort of an ode to Blazing Saddles." And I was like, "Oh, I got to look that up." So it's a sort of weak connection, but here's a clip that possibly he was referring to. Do you have that? Here we go.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? I had you people try to get a little track lead, not to jump around like a bunch of Kansas City faggots.
Oh, yeah. KC. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, thank God, and he's the announcer for the Reds.
Yeah.
Thank God Marge Schott isn't here to hear this, because she would be very... She had very delicate sensibilities. A former owner of the Reds, Marge Schott. Yeah. You can look her up, and she'd be very upset if she knew someone was using this.
You know
kind
who's
of language.
To blame here? Hmm. Who's to blame here is Tom Brennan himself, because he never did what Pat O'Brien did to his sound guy and tell him,
"If you fuck me, you're dead."
That's right. So he did a pretty long-winded apology during the course of this game. Like, it may have lasted an inning and a half or something. He's also Fox NFL announcer. Anyway, Fox has pulled him as well. Well, that's that. Yeah.
Well, he's been calling baseball games since the 90s. He's been working with the Reds since 2006.
Hey, he's got to come up with some answer, and so he can get back to work. I don't need everyone removed from their job. Just apologize or equate it to something or do my peanut butter thing and get on with your goddamn life. But anyway, his apology like kept going because I was reading it. It was on SportsCenter, and it's just like it's also a weird thing when you go – see, if there's a little if there's a little time – okay, so what I'm saying is – Jimmy Fallon gets in trouble for blackface, or Jimmy Kimmel gets in trouble for blackface, which is not blackface. It's doing an impersonation of Carl Malone or doing an impersonation of Chris Rock, but whatever. Or you're the senator and they find your yearbook and you're wearing a Klan robe or something. And then you go, "I was 19. That was 41 years ago. You know, that was a different person in a different time. And I apologize, but that's not the man you see before me here today." But you can't go, "That was an inning and a half ago. That was the old me."
Get over it.
I've evolved.
Adding to the weirdness, Gina, did you mention he was relieved mid-game?
Yeah,
no, I didn't. And that also happened. Yep.
So what happened? It was a doubleheader. So he said it. So he said it at the end of the first game and then didn't realize had to apologize in the middle of the second game.
Mm. And oof. Yeah, but
I got that sound guy.
He was doing the thing where it's like, "That's not who I am, and everyone knows who I am," and then that kind of thing. And, you know, I made a mistake. But again, If it's an old yearbook, there's a kind of a distance deniability thing. If it was 10 minutes ago, it's difficult to do the
that's
not the man.
Different baseball
game. Not the man. First off, it was a very different time. It was 5:45 in the evening. Now it's almost 7. So it's a different era. You understand? That's the way people spoke at 5:45. You know what I'm saying?
Everybody thought that was okay around dinner.
Yeah, that's right. Well, now
that's
we're
back when the sun was there.
Now the streetlights are almost on, so it's a different time, different era. Yeah, set my ways. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah, Max Zapata, can you find the written version of that? It's pretty damn good.
I'll be curious in the coming days if Ernest Lee Biggett has thoughts on this.
Ernest Lee might take over in the booth.
Oh
no.
And also
doubling down.
Who's calling the second game? Like, they have an extra guy, an extra play-by guy just hanging out
waiting.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah. And they somebody got on the put up the bat signal. Like somebody had to go find some AAA guy to haul over.
Yeah.
You know, your big break, right?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I don't know.
So this guy does it during a doubleheader, bad timing, and then has the home run hit right in the beginning of his apology.
After he says he's a man of faith.
And you know, the real victim here is the guy who hit the home run, not the gay community. The real victim is the guy who hit the dinger. That's probably his first of the season. You know, he probably wanted the ball. His parents were watching. It's like, I want to apologize to the gay. Hey, drive to left, home run. Anyway, back to the gay community.
Daddy, can we see the clip of you hitting your home run again?
Well, no. Really just a guy apologizing to the gay community.
Speaking of that, I don't have it in front of me, but I did see him trending this morning. Somebody we've had on the show, Randy Rainbow, who is a very out and proud musical.
I want to apologize to Randy Rainbow. Oh, a liner hit the left field. Anyway, Randy, if you're listening.
Proud resident of Kansas City.
That's right.
Well, he has to. Well, people are calling for him to apologize now in case, you know, just so we can get the whole spectrum. Old song parodies included words that now are not appropriate in the LGBTQ community. So apparently Randy is no longer an ally.
What words?
His own community.
What are the words?
Brian.
Well, it's so weird.
Isn't it like their that shit?
You know, it's weird.
Isn't it like their word, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's I really just looked at the headline, and I'm browsing quickly, but I don't see it.
What is it? Queer? Is that it?
I mean,
he and Tom Bradman might be on the same page.
I don't want to guess, but that was the headline, and I'm happy to scan for it. Unless
you know, it's a sad realization. I realize when I was a kid, there were always the promise of technology, and one of the things was a time machine. Like, we're going to build a time machine. And half the movie's like, we built a time machine, and then we'd gone back to the Jurassic period to study the dinosaurs or watch how the pyramids were built or something. If there is such a thing as a time machine, rich people are going to use it to go back to cover up a photo they took in junior high or blackface or something. The first people who use a time machine are not going to be scientists going back to study the origins of the Earth.
Good.
They're going back to get rid of this day that they said something into a hot mic, right?
Yes. I have the little blurb here from Onstage Blog. It says, musical theater parody master and political commentator Randy Rainbow is under fire today for a series of old offensive tweets that have resurfaced. The tweets consist of offensive language regarding the Black, Asian, and trans community.
Oh. Mm.
So I think he was being a little cheeky and a little too much.
We have a Tom Brennan apology. Do you have it, Max Bennett?
Yeah. Jim Day is going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game. I made a comment earlier tonight that I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart I'm so very, very sorry. I pride myself and think of myself as a man of faith. And there's a drive into deep left field by Castellanos that will be a home run. And so that will make it a 4-0 ball game.
Reds on top, 4-0.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again. I don't know if it's going to be for the Reds. I don't know if it's going to be for my bosses at Fox. I want to apologize for the people who signed my paycheck. For the Reds, for Fox Sports Ohio, for the people I work with, for anybody that I've offended here tonight. I can't begin to tell you how deeply sorry I am. That is not who I am. It never has been. And I'd like to think maybe I could have some people that could back that up. I am very, very sorry, and I beg for your forgiveness. Jim Day will take you through the rest of the way home.
Wow. Well, there's got to be an overwhelmingly large group of the gay community watching the Reds and KC
Royals
game 14 of the season. So he does owe those people an apology.
Yeah. It's pretty great that there was so much emphasis on the people who write my check.
I know, that was another funny part of it. Like, he cut right to the heart of the matter. Like, let's talk about what this really means, people.
I'd like to address the decision makers.
That's right. Yeah,
I really owe an apology to the people who pay me.
Yeah, it's like a weird, it's an interesting conceit. Like, you're going, I'm going to apologize to the gay community, but most importantly, the folks cutting the checks, who are definitely not gay, but I definitely need their checks. Oh, boy. All right. Well, now it's on. What do you think happens? Is that the end of the career, or does he come back somewhere?
I think he's toast.
How old is he? Can you find him? 60 years old or something?
He is 56.
Late 40s.
Oh, man. Mm. Got some. And the announcer guys can go on to their 80, you know? I mean, hell, Vince Scully.
Vince Scully. And yeah.
Chick Hearns went on for a long time, too.
Is that something that, say, if it happened 10 years ago, would have had the same ramifications? Or are we this much more sensitive now?
There are certainly versions of it. I mean, there was Jimmy the Greek, who got himself famously into a lot of trouble. There's, I think, Al Campanis, the Dodgers.
Yep, the GM or GM. Something, director of baseball operations.
Yeah, but it was pretty flagrant. You know, it was a couple things. It had to really do with the black community. We didn't really give the same. We didn't really give the same amount of concern to the gay community, right. The Asian community, the transgender community. Like that was still on the table. It was really about the black community. And you had to kind of say something that was like, I don't know if these people intellectually are capable of coaching. You know, they're players. You know, like they'd say things that were really, that cut really deep. Yeah. And that was enough to get you booted.
Unless you were the president of the United States.
Then you say whatever you want.
I mean, that Hollywood Access tape of Trump, I mean, it's pretty remarkable.
Like, the guy I feel sorry for is Billy Bush. I don't even get why did he get – I don't get why he had to be off the air for 5 years or whatever it is. He's right. Back, by the way, and doing a good show.
Footnote to all of this sports commentator talk. This is anecdotal, but it's true. A lot of these guys are very conservative. Like, they obviously present a very straight and narrow, you know, persona on the air. But I happen to know someone who is very good friends with both Al Michaels and Vince Scully. And he has told me just very freely, like, oh, yeah, they're like almost like, what's the word he used? Damn it. It extreme conservatives, he called them.
Oh, find Vin talking about Hugo Chavez. I mean, that's the greatest. You want to talk about one guy is apologizing while calling the game. The other guy is calling the game Vin Scully and taking digs at Hugo Chavez, which is a perfect thing, too. It's on Brian's sort of conservative thought.
The word I was looking for, he referred to one of those guys in his own words as a seditionist. Like, he's basically a seditionist. Yeah, all right.
What's the definition of seditionist?
Chris can put it on the screen, but it's I think someone has some extreme views.
Well, I don't know about Vin, because I agree with him about Hugo Chavez, but I don't think
that was part of it.
That clip's awesome if you want.
Seditionist is one who engages in or promotes the interest of sedition, typically not considered a subversive act, and the overt act that may be prosecutable under sedition laws.
Sounds like something that you could be put in the clink for during the Civil War. Like if you were...
Yeah, kind of like insurrection.
It's like treason, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, you can look for Vin Scully's clip. Makes me laugh every time because it's so silky smooth. First, I'll tell you about NetSuite by Oracle. America's ready to get back to work. You want to win in the new economy? You need every advantage. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility, control over financials, HR, inventory, and e-commerce and more, all in one place. Whether you're doing a million in business or sales or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite will let you manage every penny, give you the agility to compete, and you can work with anyone and work wherever you want. Just use your phone. You can do it all off your phone. Join the 20,000 plus companies who trust NetSuite. Right, Dawson?
Receive your free guide, 7 actions and businesses need to take now, and schedule a free product tour at netsuite.com/Adam. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour now at netsuite.com/Adam. Netsuite.com/Adam.
Here's the great Vin Scully working a dig into Venezuela in the middle of the Dodger game.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello.
Oh, you got to let it play out.
It's the only.
Oh, well, find the one that's got a little more head and a little more tail on it, because he goes right back into the game, too. I could listen to the apology or the digs on Hugo Chavez or whatever, and then back to the count immediately. I could listen to that all day. Yeah. All right, we'll find that. A little more head, a little more tail. Sorry. What else, Gina?
Wasn't Vin the one that said, if you have a sombrero, throw it in the sky or throw it in the air? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know that
somebody
one.
Somebody of Latino heritage, like it was like a grand slam or something. And he said, if you have a sombrero, throw it into the sky or something along those lines. I can't believe you don't remember that. If I heard
it. He got sure, dug a new one for that, or like cultural appropriation. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you kind of the problem with where we're going with all this stuff, sort of bigger picture, is it's just going to create sort of less conversation. Like, I run a business, and you start thinking about, like, you have a young lady who works for you, and in the past, you would have probably taken her out to lunch and done what are your goals, you know what I mean? No one wants to go out to lunch now with the young lady now because it's like, I don't want to get into trouble. I don't know what she's going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. And so what it's doing is it's actually hurting the young lady because they want to go talk to the boss and tell them their hopes and dreams. But everyone's kind of leave the door open or don't hire that guy. I don't want to get into trouble if we try to fire him. It's a real issue. It's going to have consequences. Sorry, Brian, you were saying?
I was saying Mike Pence was right.
Yeah,
to be left alone with a woman in a room.
Leave the door open. All right, we have the better.
Yeah, this is a minute one. So yeah, it looks like they took down most of the other ones. So this is this is a guy filming his TV, but it should still work.
Okay.
Carter at first, nobody out. All in one. Perez, 25 years old, originally drafted by the Tigers, lives in Venezuela. Boy, can you imagine you're a young kid playing in the United States, you're from Venezuela, and every time you look at the news, it's a nightmare. A bunt attempt is missed. Runners were holding 0-2. Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
So good.
It's also, I like it when everyone gets to the point of their job where they don't care anymore. It's like, hey man, I'm 91. I got F me money up the wazoo. You want to shit can me? I'll say what I want. I mean, you know, marriages get to that place. A lot of stuff gets to that place, which is like, there's no way young Vin Scully in 1947 is doing that rant or anything close to anything for the first 30 years of his career, right? You get to the point where it's like, I'm a national treasure. I'm old. I'm rich. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You throw me out the air? I like it. All right. What else, Gina Grand?
Dax Shepard was in a pretty bad accident recently when he flew over the handlebars of his bike while racing around the track at Sonoma Raceway. He suffered multiple injuries, including road rash, 4 broken ribs, and a broken clavicle. He admitted he has nobody to blame but himself. He said he made a rookie mistake for his first time at the track. He said, I was passing 6 guys on Sonoma Raceway. I was braking very, very hard. Hard enough that the back wheel was off the ground for 100 yards. I went over the handlebars and I landed pretty hard. And he said this on his recent podcast, Armchair Expert. The track employees read him the riot act for careless riding. They said
he's being carried away in a gurney.
They said you risked the safety of 6 other motorcyclists, and he said I was too injured to object.
I wonder what he was riding. I wonder what kind of bike he was riding. I don't know if it says anywhere. He's ridden his bike here. Moto Guzzi. No, what was it? Ducati. He has a Ducati, or he has a few bikes. It was probably just like an open track day where guys were going out there and doing their thing. Sonoma is a very technical track. It's difficult and technical. I've driven there probably four times or maybe four events. Also took a car there. Oh, I took a car there for testing. And I also took a car there to shoot an element, shoot an episode of Jay Leno's Garage. But it's technical. It's long and it's kind of big and there's a couple of blind turns on it and it's a difficult track. If you tell me where he crashed, I wonder if we find out where he crashed. I can tell you if he was hauling ass or not. But that's also the track. I think Max Zapata. On Shark Tank, on Shark Tank, one of the sharks who's been on the show, I can't think of his name right. He has the Polish last name, like a long last name. What's his name?
Robert Hershevik.
Hershevik, yeah, or maybe it's not Polish. But Robert Hershevik was racing in like a Ferrari challenge race on that track and just went into the tire wall at 130 miles an hour and on that track as well. It's a fast kind of technical track, and it's actually where my next race may be in the 510, but it takes a little getting used to, that track. Some tracks are off camber, they call them, and you can't see around things and all kinds of stuff, and you can see there's footage of Hershevik going into that tire barrier at like 100 and something miles an hour. So I wonder what he was riding. I wonder, probably just like an open track day, but.
Well, People Magazine certainly doesn't know.
No, they don't.
It is not included.
No articles saying.
They don't know. Yeah. Well, we wish him a speedy recovery. You know, the stuff about the track is it's good in that you won't get hit by a car, but there is the self-inflicted wound part where you just start. The problem is, nobody wants to go out there and go slow. You just start pushing it, and then you start pushing it a little further, and you don't really know where the limit is until you find the limit, and that's you going over the handlebars in some cases. And that's kind of the catch 22 is if you're into it, you're not going to be into going around at half speed. You're just not. And you're going to have to start ratcheting it up each lap, and if you're really experienced and you do a lot of it, then you know where the limit is. Believe me, I've done enough stuff in cars on tracks to kind of know you don't really know where the limit is. And then when you find out where the limit is, it's immediate. There's no turning back from crossing. So if you're going fast, you're right at the edge of the limit. If you go just past the limit, you're immediately backwards or on your back or going over the handlebars immediately. So it's a catch 22 that if you're going to go out there and try to get near the limit, all you have to do is pop past it a millisecond past it, and you're on your back. Maybe a Suzuki GSX. I don't know. All right, Max Pat is putting it on the screen. What else we got, Gina?
Well, I know Steve-O has a couple of tattoos, and that's very cute. That's adorable. But how do you feel about this guy? There's a guy in Australia. He spent about $9,000 to have 203 characters from The Simpsons tattooed on his back. And we have a picture of that. He broke a Guinness World Record, according to Men's Health. Michael Baxter says the tattoo took 130 hours to complete.
The Baxter.
And was done in sessions.
I hope he's called the
week.
Baxter by his friends, because his back is that's the entire town.
Totally missed it.
And what's the record?
Well, he's at 230, and he broke the record.
230 what?
230 tattoos of 230 separate Simpsons characters.
Matt.
Okay. And his ultimate goal is to
have lost.
Yeah, Matt, the Porcelain Punisher. Hold on. The Porcelain Punisher, Matt. His room was dedicated, obviously, to The Simpsons. Is super attracted to this dude. We're looking at young Matt in his room with his Simpsons slippers and vest and posters and dolls and figurines.
This is also the theme to my bar mitzvah.
Theme to your bar mitzvah. So, Matt, I don't know if you're gay, but you
I
may.
I thought I worked my way up to bi. We've discussed this many times.
Oh, you worked your
times.
Way up to bi. Well, all I'm saying is you may have found your partner, because if, in fact, you're a top, and you're bi or bi plus, as I have you now ranked, this is your man, because you would get to stare at the entire town.
Oh, right.
Right.
Only if you were at top.
Right. From behind as this gentleman, as this gentleman's partner. And I think that, I think like originally your dad might be upset, but once this guy pulled his shirt up.
Oh, they'd be impressed.
At the barbecue, they'd be impressed. Yes. That's right. So you'd see the entire town of Springfield, the residents That's of Springfield right. on this guy's back.
Many people are represented. He said his goal is to do more than 500 characters from the show. That would consist of every single character that has ever appeared, including guest stars. I don't know where you put them.
Mm. Is there anyone doing the Family Guy? Because I feel like I could be represented.
Oh, that's
doing
right.
The Family Guy.
True, me too. I think I was on the Family Guy.
Oh, what were you on the Family Guy?
Yeah.
Playing yourself on a sitcom and or animated series is either good or bad. In your case, Steve-O, I'll say it's a good thing. But I've played myself in like
Dawson's Creek.
I played myself in Dawson's Creek and the Ryan Reynolds Two Guys, a Girl in the Pizza Place, whatever, where they would just keep referring to me. It's like, it's Adam Carolla, which is always
Did
weird
I just
now.
Hear that Ryan Reynolds sold a brand of alcohol for over $600 million?
Yes, you did.
He sold his gin company for $610 million, yeah. And it had been working on it for 2 years.
Where's Mangria at?
It's been 22 years, and someone just offered me whatever was in the ashtray of their truck. We didn't discuss the amount. He didn't want to say. He just said, I got the Ford F-150 with the Bondo on the door. Help yourself.
You did really well with Mangria, though, right?
Yeah, we're still doing Mangria. Good. And we got other things to offer as well. But not Ryan Reynolds. Well, Dude. Holy good God. You know, the next guy's going to do that is probably The Rock with his tequila,
sure.
I guess. Is he doing a tequila? All right, let me hit Geico here. Yeah, Geico right now. Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on a car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico would already be saving you if you were with them. So let's get going, people. Never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% if you switch by October 7th. So it's coming up. Let's get going. Save some money and go to geico.com to learn more. That's geico.com. All right, Gina, one more. What do we got?
All right. Well, let's get this audition tape in. So, as many people know, and some are excited about, Bill and Ted Face the Music is supposed to be coming out in the next week or so.
That's right.
I think they're going to do streaming as well, since nobody but AMC seems to have a plan to open anytime soon. The Daily Mail has posted Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter's lost audition tape. It features them doing these scenes together, doing a chemistry test. And the Daily Mail said that Keanu was head and shoulders above everybody else. But it was his instant connection with Winters that helped Winters get the job. And this is like 8 minutes. I pulled like 15 seconds just so you can see them as young boys, young budding actors.
You know, on guitar. It's the Bill. You know, I believe we'll get Van Halen on guitar. And soon we have Triumphant
T-shirts. It's pointless to have Triumphant T-shirts before we even have instruments.
How can we have instruments when we don't even know how to play?
Ah, that is why we need Van Halen.
And that is why we need Triumphant T-shirts.
Excellent!
Alright.
Winter's off script in that thing, and Keanu's got the script on his knee. And Winter's a pro. Yeah, Winter worked for quite some time as a director on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys that?
He's still a director.
Is he still directing
and
over
documentarian.
There? Yeah.
I just saw a documentary by him called Showbiz Kids.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
That's good.
I really want to see it. Yeah, he came in and because he did that doc about cryptocurrency that was really interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. God, been around for too long. Can't keep track of everyone ever anymore. So that's coming out. Can we get all right. I get we live in California and we're not allowed to do anything, but aren't there places where not that much is going on where they're allowed to open theaters?
Well, AMC has a plan to open like 100 across the country, but I don't know if that's affecting us or not.
I got to say,
in other places.
In a world where there's sort of substitutes. Like, I went out to Pasadena with Chris Morgan of Fast and Furious fame, and we had a delightful surf and turf in the parking lot. Oh, it was, I don't want to eat in a stupid parking lot, but they put down some AstroTurf and they put some, like, throw up tents and just sat outside and ate. Like, I mean, it was fine. Surf and turf. I miss going to a movie theater. I really do.
Oh, my God.
I just miss that experience of going into a movie theater. And
are you telling?
I would like to get back to that. Yes.
I agree with you 100%, 1,000%. I just had the conversation yesterday about how I would go to see two or three or sometimes four movies in a week, generally, you know, 10 o'clock a.m. on a, you know, Tuesday or whatever. And the place was empty anyway. So let's get that going again.
Yeah, just, I don't know, just spread everyone out and limit it. And is there something going on? I know we haven't really gotten into this, but other people have gotten into it. We fly constantly. I've flown a lot since this pandemic is going. Drew just got back from the East. You know, Drew went from L.A. to he did L.A., Vegas. He did Vegas, Georgia. He did Georgia, New York. He did New York, you know, wow. L.A. I'm going to D.C. in a week. I mean, I've been around. And the answer is oh, yeah, it's safe to fly on the plane because the plane scrubs the air. It's like it's all confined. I mean, it would be the worst thing ever in terms of a movie theater would be a lot safer than an airplane if the airplane wasn't scrubbing the air. I'm kind of holding my fingers up in quotes, but it's like everyone is confined. It's a long cigar tube. I mean, the Southwest flights I've flown on, picture a nightclub, except for the ceiling is 6'2", not 10 feet, and the nightclub is only 6 feet wide, and there's 90 people in it. You know what I mean? That'd be the most packed nightclub ever. Yeah, with no music and no booze. Right. All right. So evidently, then they'll tell you, oh, flying is one of the safer places to be because they scrub the air. I don't know.
What do you mean by scrub the air?
They have like some kind of HEPA filter that zaps the, you know.
I understood it was that the air is recycled, that it's brought from outside and
no, it's recycled, I think, from within, but it's circulated quickly and zapped or scrubbed, you know. I mean, which is
they filter it like every 2 minutes, something like that.
Which probably already existed because if you're going to be on a 6 hour flight in a pressurized tube and you can't crack the window and somebody breaks wind or they're cooking in first class or whatever, you're going to have to circulate it. So they've already, I guess, have an air scrubber, as I'm calling, like a way to purify the air and then kick it back out again. So, but wouldn't this be fairly easy to do in a movie theater? Like they have systems, they all have AC systems where they're constantly sucking the air in, cooling it, spitting it back out. Vents, and they do have like pretty advanced air scrubbers. Like I have had electronic, there's stuff you can hook up to your AC system that plugs in and actually zaps like the little bits of dander and dust and everything else. Like it's a pretty advanced business. Why can't they just recirculate it and scrub it and then just spread everyone out? I'm guessing whenever you don't really find the answer to things like this, there's some financial or legal component to it.
My guess would have been if you want one that's going to not just work on dander, but on virus particles, I would guess it's cost prohibitive is my guess.
Well, what do airplanes use that? I mean, every commercial airline flight, every Southwest flight is evidently fine to fly on. So what are they doing? What is their technology? I mean, some of those planes are 25 years old. Like, where's that? What technology do they possess? And then how do we infuse it into the theater chain or the restaurant?
Well, AMC did announce because they actually reopened today as we record this. And they said that they have upgraded their ventilation systems. That was one of the things that they announced that they're doing. And it's a 15 cents to go today to watch a movie.
Oh, all right. Well, let's get. Well, not in California, though, right? that's nothing. Yeah, we'll call the guards. You go there. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Well, last but not least, Simply Safe. Don't feel unsafe at home. Get Simply Safe. Two I's in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. Get started today and get free shipping with Simply Safe. Steve O, everyone's got two things. He's got Gnarly, the stand-up special, which is very entertaining. And it's funny, obviously, as well, but it's entertaining because it's a multimedia affair. That's available now at steveo.com. And then there's also Steve O's Wild Ride, the podcast. And the movie Guest House is available on demand September 4th with Pauly Shore and Billy Zane and Bobby Lee as well. So go out and avail yourself of all that is Steve O. I'm going to be at the Tempe Improv coming up September 18th and 19th. We're going to do live podcasts there and then stand up after that as well. Salt Lake City Wise Guys coming up October 2nd and 3rd. I'm your emotional support animal. My new book's available, and you can go ahead and give it a review on Amazon. I would appreciate it. See our subscribe to our YouTube channel and see all the stand up there for free. YouTube.com/Adam Carolla. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Steve O and Bald.
Thanks, man.
Thank you. And Gina saying mahalo.
Stick around. Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla return for Good Sports right after this.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello and happy Friday, sports fans, and welcome to Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Quick reminder, make sure you track down Dave's of Thunder Better Than Ever. You can watch it on YouTube even if you want, and also Extra Points with Cousin Sal and Charlotte Wilder. Good times there. But to the matter at hand, kibitzing about sports and the game of life with Adam Carolla. What's on your mind today, Ace?
Jack, where do you come down on this activity / behavior?
Mm.
The super speedy, we were talking about some of the fast sprinters who've played in the NFL, some with more success than others. Willie Gault comes to mind.
Yep.
Where do you come down on this behavior? The Kansas City wide receivers caught the ball. He's put the juke on his last man, and he's going to be run unfettered to the end zone for the next 35 yards. Tyreek Hill, number 10, the speedster, has to run up to him. Is he 10 or 11?
He's number 10.
He's number 10.
Yeah.
He has to do that move where even though he's 8 yards behind the guy who's clearly going to score, he has to catch up to him and then run next to him and kind of pat him on the back. Now, you'd think he's congratulating his teammate, but he's really letting everyone in the stadium know that I'm faster, in fact, than the guy who's scoring the touchdown, and I'm just going to make this little game of speeding up to him. And then it's, in a weird way, steal a little of the guy's thunder. Like, he doesn't get a full touchdown. I'm going to run up to him. Everyone's going to realize how much faster I am than this guy. Then number two, they're going to think, God, I wish that guy had the ball instead of that guy. That guy's so much faster. Then number three, I'll run up and I'll slow down when I get to him, even though he's running full speed. And I'll like condescendingly pat him on the back. And then we'll both celebrate together in the end zone.
A short answer to that question is I don't care for it. I don't mean to sound like a curmudgeon, coach from 1968 or whatever, but I not just once either. Very often you see the guys doing that and it's like, well, that the guy actually got tackled. The guy with the ball got tackled because you were busy celebrating his successful or what should have been a successful journey to the end zone, but you could have turned around and blocked the guy chasing him, but instead you were too busy wagging your finger next to him. And I mean, that's happened at least a couple of times watching a game. But yes, the spirit of it is also bogus, that you're taking your teammate shine a little bit. I'm not a fan of it. I thought you were going to say, do I like Tyreek Hill once he runs past everybody giving him the peace sign? And that, I say yes. The NFL says no, because that's taunting somebody, and shame the devil that you would ever do that in pro football.
God, it's so insane what speed does. To be faster than everyone, especially when everyone is fast, that is quite a thing. Yeah, so his guy broke loose, and then here comes Tyreek Hill, and he runs up and he catches him, and then he's got to like celebrate with him. I would also argue that if I'm the coach, I would say, look, you don't have an infinite number of bursts of speed per game. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that's a fair point.
We got to put a cap on it. You don't have 50. Maybe you have 31, you know, or maybe you have 28. Like, you're not a machine. The fourth quarter's going to come around at some point. There's going to be a little dehydration setting in. Like, I don't know if I want you just running your ass off down the field for no good reason. I would go ahead and ask you to conserve some of that for the next route you have to run.
I love that point. Randy Moss ruined that for everybody because that was always his excuse. It was like, I can't go full speed every play because then I'm running a 50-yard sprint on every play. So I have to, when I know the ball's not coming my way, I have to save a little in the tank. So, yes, that is a great point. That's right. I don't know if this is too nuanced an issue. Who would you rather drive across the country with? That guy, the guy who feels like, I'm going to, like, bask in the reflected glory of somebody else like that, or the helpful cornerback who always, when he gets whipped, when he gets beaten by the wide receiver and the guys in the end zone, he turns and points at the safety who was supposed to help him in coverage. Like, where were you, guy? Like, you know, making it clear to everybody in the stadium and watching on TV, like, that wasn't on me. That was that guy over there who should have been over here. Who's the worst human being?
I'm going to add a third guy to this mix.
Okay. Oh, I have another one to add, too.
Go ahead. Guy who, you know, it's first and goal on the 6-yard line. He's playing corner. The guy throws an out. He breaks it up, and he's doing the wag the finger and not in my house. And it's like, hey, you got three more downs here. You're probably going to get scored on in the next play or two. Like,
What? Good thing you were playing Josh Allen and not Drew Brees, or else you would be walking off the field after 6 points. Yes.
Right. So
a terrible throw doesn't make you a hero.
Do it on third down when the field goal team is coming on, but don't do it on first down. You got a couple more plays for these guys to score here.
I always feel like I'm a coach. Exactly. Like I'm yelling at my TV when I'm watching the Steelers in particular play that when they do that, I'm like, guys, two more plays before you're out of this thing. Or they celebrate after third down and it's on the 1-yard line. It's like, you guys are celebrating like they're not going to go for it, which they are. Keep your heads in the game out there.
That's right.
That's how I feel. The fourth I'll add to this is, and this is really Odell Beckham more than any other wide receiver I've ever seen. But if the ball is thrown in Odell Beckham's direction and it doesn't result in a catch, then by definition, it was pass interference, and he's throwing his hands wildly to the ref. Where's the flag? Where's the flag? He's basically our old pal Ray from the Blue Top. Right. Every time he missed a basket, like, foul, foul. Nah, nobody touched you.
I completely agree. I cannot stand that. And Gary, one more for Shaq. I don't know if you can find it or not. I'll answer your question. But Gary, that Rams footage from last year was going nuts on ACS the other week, but we never saw the footage of it. But Sheck's the guy to talk to about this. What is deemed a reception is driving me out of my gourd. When the Rams were playing the Ravens last year in the Coliseum, one where the Ravens just shellacked the Rams. They scored a touchdown the first six times they had an offensive possession or something like that. But there was a play in like the third quarter where the Ravens threw downfield to their tight end, and the Ravens were already up 35-6 at that point. The tight end turned around, caught the ball, then started to turn forward and run. The Rams DB made a good play and punched it out. The Rams recovered the ball. They probably needed it as much as they needed anything at that point. And then they reviewed it, and it's like, no catch. And it's like, well, he caught the ball, and then he started running. And it's like, yeah, but he didn't have it long enough. And it's like, well, he caught the ball. Why is that not a catch? Why are you nullifying a good defensive play saying a guy didn't catch the ball? Oh, he caught the ball, and then it was stripped. That's what happened. He wasn't juggling the ball. He caught it. Why can't that be a play? I don't get the definition.
Nobody. I mean, legitimately, it's been. Have we learned anything more since the Dez catch and Jesse James with the Steelers against the Patriots was a big one? There have been a number of examples of that. Yeah, I think a good, although it's imperfect too, but still, I guess kind of the answer is for me always is if the DB hadn't hit the ball, would that guy have reasonably just turned and run with it to the end zone? The answer was yes on the play you're talking about. So then it's a catch, right? I mean, like that.
I always just go if the DB was never born. I'm gonna get macabre here. I don't want to bring politics into this, but if he was aborted, would the guy still have the ball? And if the answer is yes, then you want to know why? It's because he caught it. That's why he would still have the ball. Yes,
even if that act is illegal in some states. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where we are right now.
A third trimester type situation. That was only in the case of rape or incest, Dave. Let's not get political. All right, let's just say he didn't make the move. Forget about the politics and the abortions and the right to lifers and the pro-choicers. Let's just say he didn't punch the ball out. Would the guy still have the ball? And if the answer is yes, then he caught the ball. I would also argue when they go, yeah, he caught it, but he didn't make a football move. Guess what catching a football is?
That's always my argument. What is more football-y? What is more of a football move than being on a football field and putting both hands on a football, which you cannot play the game of football without? What is more of a football move than doing that?
I would argue that running your route and catching the 30-mile-an-hour spiral that was over your head and starting to bring it in is a much, much more of a football move than turning in the other direction. Like, he caught it, but they didn't make a move after he caught it. That's a more of a football move than turning the direction of your goal
line.
When
I checked into the hotel the other day, I turned around in that whole thing, and right. A lot of other people were doing it too. That's a football move? I don't think so.
Catching the ball is a football move. Yes, this guy, the tight end for the Ravens, just caught it on the fly and actually turned back to catch the ball, and then he turned forward, and then he got stripped. And it drives me nuts when we have review, and they review it, and they're under the hood, and they come back in like, yeah, no catch. Like, really? You saw it in slow motion? Oh, I'll tell you what drives me the most nuts. The announcers. The announcers say, good call. That's a good call. No, that's a correct call. It's like, it's a correct call? He caught the ball, and then he got it stripped. Why is that a correct call? Why do we agree with this?
But why? It's also, what I resent is, like, flip-flopping is apparently bad behavior, according to many people in the 21st century. But the inability to be fluid enough in your opinion when you see the replay. I can't stand the guys in the booth when they're like, oh, that's a catch. They decide it in real speed, and then they see the replay. And it's like, oh, obviously he dropped the ball. Like, it fell out of it, hit the ground before he caught it. And they're like, I think you got to keep that. I think you got to hold that one up. That's a catch. Like, but you know you're wrong. Why are you – the whole thing is so screwy. It's ridiculous. And I really do – I know you think I was kind of like, but you have the technology, and so shouldn't you get the call right and applying that kind of logic? But this far in, I mean, it feels like they added instant replay like, I don't know, a half dozen or so years ago. It's been around for like 25, 30 years now, and they still, I feel like they get the same percentage of calls wrong. It's now, if you go dig up, as I do because I'm a loser and I watch playoff games from 1978, it'll drive you crazy on that level. Like, well, he obviously dropped that ball. They have to, they don't have instant replay to reverse it. But now in 2019, you watch games and you think like, oh, they reversed that call and they got it wrong. It was right initially and now they reversed it. It all stinks. I don't know. But you know what? I'm excited to watch football with you, Adam Carolla. And that's the big news. God. Let's keep that in mind that soon unless something, I don't know what, but we're really tracking towards pro football at least. And I can't wait to be sitting with you and Cousin Sal and Hench and the gang watching football. It's going to be a good time.
Some ribs.
Another month.
BetOnline. BetOnline.ag. No shortage of action out there with our partner, BetOnline.ag. MLB's in full swing. NBA playoffs start this week. Plus UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and soccer, and more. BetOnline has the best odds and lines for upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC daily. Also, hundreds of live casino games, poker tournaments, best props, and the business as well. Just visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Its seasons are starting. The NBA's rolling. NASCAR was up and running pretty fast and still exciting. Boxing, UFC, it's all out there. Just go to betonline.ag and use the promo code podcast1.
Very nice. And you know what? Since it's the end of the week, we don't need to belabor.
Oh, now we got the stupid. Gary found the stupid play, the stupid announcer. That was a good call. That was a good call. It was a good call. It's a good call. He caught the stupid ball. All right, we'll try to figure it out where you can see it, but they'll show a replay of it. By the way, the Rams at 35-6 probably needed that call more than ever. Ball catch, turn, run, strip. That's a good call. That's a good call. That's a good call. Caught the ball.
One, two. His third foot hits as the ball comes out. I mean, legitimately, that's a catch to me. If you have 2 feet down, like if that is the back of the end zone and that other guy had been aborted, he would have that would have been a touchdown. That's the kind of call.
Not only that, he turned back toward the quarterback, caught the ball, then turned forward and started running with the ball. And then he got it stripped. Why is that a... He's running down the field with a ball. He gets it stripped. What else? That's a good non-call.
Hey, that's 10 months ago. It doesn't matter anymore.
This game is being replayed in my head. It's being relitigated in my head over and over. All I see is, the Sonny made the biggest mistake of his life. I was watching the NFL Network on my rowing machine. He innocently walked into the gym as I was watching his play. I grabbed him around. I was like, son, sit down. You're going to learn. Life ain't fair. Gary, is that the fucking, did he catch the ball and then start running?
He caught the ball and then he made a football move, which is the head toward the end zone he wanted to go to.
And they reviewed it.
Yeah.
And then they went, that's a non-catch. And the fucking announcers went, that's a good call.
Good call.
Good call. That's why I could never be in the booth.
Now does America see why I'm so excited to watch football on Sundays?
That's right. All right.
All right. Good times.
Good times.
Life may not be fair, but here's some good news for your life. We'll be back with more hot sports talk for you next week. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damaschek, good sports out. Good sports.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.
And before we get out of here, one more thanks to Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? What do you do? Do you want a bundle? Well, you own or you rent. Or you got to have insurance. You got to have auto insurance. Bundle it. Make it easy. Save money. Let's get it under one roof at Geico. At geico.com, get a quote. See just how much you could be saving on your homeowners and your rental insurance when you bundle. That's Geico, geico.com.